to Mark chapter 11, and just hold space there, and let's receive the word, because there's a special impartation of faith that we need for our lives and our futures this morning. Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to give. We thank you for the opportunity to receive the word. We thank you, Father God, that your word is eternal. It's life-changing. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We receive you, Jesus, as the author and developer, the initiator and the developer of our faith. So as we hear the word, we thank you that you'll be working in and developing our faith this morning. And we thank you, Father God, that there will be grace deposits and truth impartations for those online and in person to receive from you. And we thank you for transforming, strengthening, stabilizing, and stepping up our faith level. Because we hear the word of God, and we hear a word from God today. And we thank you for it. And we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. We're going to start there. We are in part two of faith and faithfulness. I'm going to reread the prophecy that we read that was given by Dr. Jerry Savelle, prophet of God, on January the 1st, 2021. He said, the year 2020 is now over, and the new year has finally come. So get ready for more and more rejoicing in 2021. Remember, faith rejoices. Things I've planned will surely bring you great joy. Blessing after blessing, that's what I will deploy. Never have you witnessed such goodness, which you shall soon see. I'm pouring out in abundance so that you will have greater victories. Isn't that good? Amen. Things you stood in faith for, which seemed would never come, they'll manifest shortly, and every battle will be won. Keep your eyes on me and your trust in my word. Regardless of what others say, you'll not be disturbed. A year of great favor, that's what you'll testify to. For abundance overflow is surely coming to you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so we shared last week that in Psalms chapter 27, verse 13 and 14, he says, I have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. So this is how you see it. You have to believe to see it. We said before last week that prophecies or promises do not self-fulfill. You have to add your faith to them. Amen. To access them, to appropriate them. And so he said, I have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. And we said, I would have fainted unless he believed to see. Faint here in the Psalms means to sink into rejection. Because when people don't receive their healing or the promise is delayed, it seems they get rejected. They think, I've been denied my right or privilege to be healed. I've been denied the blessing of a heavenly home and marriage. I've been denied prosperity. That's when people start fainting. They sink into rejection. They lose courage. They become depressed. They yield to fear and worry. That's what that word faint means. He said, I had fainted unless I believed. Unless your faith believes the prophecies and the promises of God, you will faint too. See, as long as we're in the world, we're going to have tests, trials, tribulations. As we said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you, that you might, in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. You'll have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, Amplified says this, this way, I have told you these things that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. How many know that's been happening? But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. In other words, because he has overcome the world, you can overcome the world and everything the wickedness of Satan throws at you. Isn't that good? So how do we overcome the problems we face in the world today? According to Jesus, our Lord, it is through our faith. And in Mark 11, 22 through 25, we shared at length nine principles. We won't cover all nine of them today, but we'll be moving on. But it says this in Mark 11, 22, Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. Have faith in who? God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. For when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, if that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so we gave you nine principles that Jesus gave us about the law of faith. When we started talking about faith, our first installment or message was faith is a law, the law of faith. We said there's the law of love, which is the royal law, the highest law. The law of love is the royal law, the highest law. Love is the greatest motivator. Faith works by love, right? But we said faith is the greatest activator. What does it activate, Pastor? It activates your covenant. The things that Jesus bought and paid for us in his covenant with the Father, and we get to be enjoined and engrafted into that covenant. So everybody say, I have a covenant. I have a covenant of God. It contains over 3,000 exceeding great and precious promises. This is just not a mere contract that somebody can opt out of. This is a sworn in blood, oath-giving covenant that says, God says, I will. That's why all the promises, the Bible says, are yes and amen. Amen. So that, in other words, he has already answered them before you've asked them. Before you've asked him, can I be healed? He said, yes and amen to healing. In other words, so be it unto you. Now, the challenge is your knowledge, because faith is based upon knowledge. It's revealed knowledge of God's word, which is his will. And when you don't have revealed knowledge of his will, his last will and testament or covenant, then you don't know what you have. And you don't know what you have to activate and access and appropriate, which is by faith. Faith is the greatest activator. God has done everything that you and I will ever need, want, or desire in this life. But you have to believe it in order to receive it. That's why he told us, you got to have faith in God. Everybody say faith in God. One translation says you got to have the God kind of faith. That means you got to say it before you see it. Faith works, we said, by talking or saying, but also by praying. But if you pray it, you still have to say it. So he gave us the higher principle of the law of faith, which is the speaking part of faith. The speaking part of faith consists of us, what? Commanding the subject, speak to your mountain. So are you speaking to stuff? Are you speaking to your mountain? It involves and entails confessing about the situation. That means when somebody asks you, how's it going? How's this happening? You, instead of giving them a fact report, you're giving them a, you give them a faith report. What is a faith report? Faith report is a good report. Now the 12 spies, 10 of them came back and gave a fact report. They said there's land flows of milk and honey, and they were accurate and detailed in their facts, but there's giants, and we're not able, and they were giving facts. They weren't giving faith, and the Bible says that was an evil report. Faith always gives a good report. So the speaking part of faith, you command the subject. You. That means subject, if you took an English, person, place, or thing. Fevers are things. Headaches, things. Depression is things. Sickness is things. Enemy, the Satan, is a thing, a person. Amen. You confess about the situation. You cry to the Savior, and you communicate love and compassion and mercy to others. Your mouth is not majorly for you just wagging your tongue. That's why Jesus said, say three times in verse 23. And believe once. So in other words, as we showed you the gang sign, the faith gang sign, is three and one. That means you got to go three times as much emphasis on what's coming out of your mouth. Your faith has to work three times as much with it through your mouth than in your heart. Because if you're a Christian, you already got a measure of the God kind of faith. Amen. You've been dealt a measure of faith. So it's not about, I don't have faith at all. No, you believe because you are a believer, because you are a born again believer. What's the difference? That's kind of an oxymoron to think of a believer that can't believe. You're a believer. You believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You have been given the measure of the God kind of faith. You have been given a measure of the mountain-moving faith of God, the faith that created the worlds, the faith that changes your circumstances, the faith that when Jesus, God spoke 11 times, let there be light, that light exploded and kept on going at the speed of light. You got a measure of that kind of faith. Faith is the greatest activator. And it's the only activator of your covenant. Amen. So when Jesus cursed that figure tree, he was given an opportunity to explain this faith that God has and that Jesus has, you have to have. You have to have faith in God. Now, some people take the God out of faith. I got to have faith. And so they talk about having faith, but they don't talk about having faith in God. Because they're struggling trying to get faith. Because their faith is in themselves. Their faith is in their performance. Their faith is in their pocketbook. He said, have faith in God. In other words, when you get in front of your circumstances, when you get in front of your situation that's negative, perhaps at that time point, and when you get in front of your big mountain, you introduce that problem to God. Because you're not thinking about what can I do to this situation, what do I need to do? He said, what can God do about this? What did God say about this situation? And so your faith is in who he is and what he said, and not who you are and what you have said. Your faith is in God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Many people have to get that. So some people want to get down to start making confessions. Blah, 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 blah. And what they do, they're putting faith in their own works. They're not having faith in God. God, can you move and manifest in my family? Well, where's your faith at? Your faith level determines your victory level. Because John 5:4, every child of God defeats this evil world. World is a word that means, in the Greek, it means everything that the world system and the world can throw at us. Satan can throw economics challenges at you. Satan can create health challenges to you. Satan can throw governmental challenges at you. Satan can throw scientific, medical science. We've just seen it. We're in it. Things at you. Come on now. Faith can overcome anything the world concocts, orders, or hurls at you. Somebody say, glory to God. Every child of God. That means if you're a child of God, you're not excluded, you're included. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory how? Through our faith. So when you need it, he said, you don't have trouble. Like R.W. Chamber used to always say, all you need is faith in God. But so many people run around looking like they're so troubled. Why? Because their faith is in their performance, in their works. I got to read another Bible. I got to read the Bible more. I got to pray more. I got to read devotions. I got to purify myself. I got to try to cleanse myself. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews, pick up where we left off. We're talking about faith and faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everybody say it with me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Three things to understand in verse 1, Hebrews 11, 1. This is the definition of faith. Faith, substance, and hope. Amplified Classic says it this way. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being a proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. What is real fact? What God said. What is real fact? What God promised. But people believe what they see and feel more than they believe what God says. Now, let me expound on hope for a minute, because you can't have faith without hope, because faith gives substance to your hopes. Hope is joyful, confident expectation of good. It is joyful, confident expectation of good. Hope is being persuaded of something that is true. It is expecting something good, and it's excited. I'll say that again. Hope is being persuaded of something that is true. Let God be true. And everything else, every man, what? Liar. So when they say, we're going to take back your car, we're going to take back your house, or we're going to kick you out of the house. Let God be true, and every man be what? A liar. You're persuaded of something that's true, you're expecting something good, and you're excited. Just as faith is an issue of the spirit or heart, hope is an issue of the soul. Hope, friends, is the expectation of a greater future than current circumstances. So what you're facing right now, your biggest problem right now, your biggest challenge right now, do you have hope or an expectation of a greater future than current circumstances? Do you think it's ever going to get better? Are you expecting it to get better? Or do you have no hope for it to change or get better? We call that hopeless. Hope has to be the blueprint so that faith can come build the dream house. Amen. You got to have a blueprint or a plan or a purpose outline for your faith to go fill it with substance. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians 1:5, hope is laid up for you in heaven. That means it's not waiting for you to get to heaven. It's reserved in heaven for you now when you need it. Every Christian believer and child of God needs hope. Amen. You need your life, listen to me very closely, filled with hope. Amen. I wish at times as a pastor I could be a hope dealer. You know, the world and sometimes our communities have dope dealers. We need hope dealers. That means I can just deal out hope. Because that's where people miss the step in getting faith for whatever they need from God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's times when my life, when there's been significant financial challenges, and the devil's talking in your head, you know, what are you going to do now? Look like you're going, you ain't going to make it. See, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. There's no such thing that the devil fighting you about last time. He's going to try to make you forget about the last victory, the last blessing, the last triumph. He's going to fight you about this time. And I remember what I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin. I would say I didn't have full faith formed yet, but I would say my faith is giving, Mr. Devil, my faith is giving substance to the fact that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches. I didn't see any evidence of it coming, but I said my faith is giving substance to the fact that my God shall supply all my need, because my hope is to get my needs met. My hope is for a financial breakthrough to come. But faith gives substance to that hope. You might even be hoping to get healed, but that's the starting point. Your faith gives substance to the fact that by his stripes ye were healed. You were healed. Somebody say glory to God. And then there's a living hope. So it's not a dead hope. See, a dead hope would be a dormant hope or pipe dream. Or we say hoping and wishing only. You just fantasizing. Some people sit up and fantasize. Well, I was going to meddle, but I'm not going to meddle right. It's a living hope. That means it's a reality that you can have right now. Amen. That's in 1 Peter 1:3. A living hope. Why? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Because Jesus overcame everything and anything that would ever come against you. Listen to me. You can have anything and everything you need from God. But some people don't have any hope in that. Their hope is in, I make it happen. I turn it around. I try to fix it. That's why they never relinquish control and let the Lord have control. That's one of his titles, Lord. He's controller. He tells you what to do. But I think they're gonna. I think this is gonna get out of my grasp. Yes, good. It's good that it gets out of your grasp. It gets in God's hand. Somebody say glory to God. Hope is essential to each of us individually and collectively. You know, this, as a church, we have to have hope. We got to hope. We are to have and live lives filled with hope. Hope is an anchor to steady you. Hope is an attitude which guides you. Hope strengthens you. Hope is a promise. Hope is bigger than this life. Hope will get you through the moment so you can make it through the circumstances. Hope will get you through the moment. Like when that moment, when you get the bad news, when you get the doctor's report, when you get something negative experienced in your life, hope will get you through the moment so that you will make it through that circumstance. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Verse number 2. We're going to read down to verse 12. For by it the elders obtained their good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are not seen were not made with the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, do you know God can be pleased or he cannot be pleased? Yes. So how is God not pleased? God is not pleased when you're not receiving. Because faith is the greatest activator to receive the blessings and benefits of God outlined in our covenant with him. The covenant of God. Amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. So he's not pleased when you're not receiving his grace and gift of healing in your life. He's not pleased when you're not receiving your breakthrough. He's not pleased when you're not overcoming your trial, your trouble, or your tribulation. He's not pleased. Now, you got to think about Enoch for a minute. Enoch had a testimony of what? And he shows us the witness of faith that he pleased God. I'm a God pleaser. Now, the Bible says he at 85, he got it together at 85. And the Bible says in Genesis that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He finally got his faith figured out. He didn't have the whole King James Bible or any Bible that we have today. He just had experience with God. He walked with God for 300 years, and it said God took him. He was translated so he could not see death. Why? And he had the testimony that he pleased God. So God is pleased with faith because faith receives. Amen. Faith believes from God. Now, religion will tell you, just go to church. The devil don't mind you coming to church. But the devil gets really riled up when you get in faith. Because faith beats him, gives him a black eye. Faith takes his bondage off your life. Faith takes away his dominion and his control in your circumstances and in your environment. He doesn't want you to have faith. That's why he attacks the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. He keeps you out of the word so you don't get faith. And if you don't get faith, you get no victory. Let's keep going. By faith, Noah was, verse 7, by faith being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of this house, that by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. Now the work of faith is what Noah did. Now notice, if you study the Noah's account, he got a word and directive to build an ark. If you look at it dimensionally, it was 2 football fields long. That's pretty big. And he had is 1 football field wide. The flood came down 40 days, 40 nights, and it covered the earth. The highest points of the earth were, I think it was, they said it was 18 feet. So it was pretty flooded. if my memory serves correctly. So everything was covered up. Then the waters abated. Took a year and a half for the waters to abate and subside where they can come to land. Faith project that took 120 years. And some people get frustrated. Some people get fatigued. Some people faint when God tells them this is your assignment. That's why you need faithfulness with your faith. Are you listening to me? Because 120 years, you know, today people get tired and quit. And listen, he preached one message for 120 years. And the only thing he had, because remember, he doesn't have a Bible like we do. Only message he had was, it's going to rain. Get in the ark. Now, they looked at him like a fool because at that time, rain had not occurred like we know it today. And so he, you know, the water came out of the grounds and God watered the nice underwater tables and irrigated the land. So they said, you crazy old man, you don't know what you're talking about. So they mocked him for 120 years. Didn't get one convert. He was only able to save his own family. When we work with God, we will save our family. God says, you take care of my business, I'm going to take care of your business. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And some of us are trying to perform and get results when all God wants is our obedience and our willingness to work for him. Are you listening to me? Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out once to a place, when he, after received from inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age and became because she judged him faithful who had promise. There sprang forth there even one man and him good as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. All right, so we'll stop right there and let's learn some things about faith. As we wrap this up. Now, notice the scripture we use by faith. Now, by faith is mentioned, I think, 20-something times in this chapter. I think I got it written down here. Yeah, 21 times, by faith or through faith, in faith. And so this really means by an act of faith. By an act of faith. So by an act of faith, Abel offered to God more. By an act of faith, Enoch. By an act of faith, Noah. By an act of faith, Abraham. By an act of faith, Sarah. See, let's list some of these insights about faith and staying faithful in the scripture we just read. Faith, number one, faith is not easy. I just gave you two samplings. And you even think about Abel. Abel offered to God. He's fearing and trembling that his offering gets accepted. He's worshiping God because first thing we see is the worship of faith. The worship of faith got Abel killed by his brother who worshiped not in faith but out of his flesh. Some people get mad that you come to church. There's so many things to keep you from coming to church, being the church, and building the church. Amen. It's the first rung. Faith teaches us how to worship God. And it may cost you your life Or we might say it in contemporary language in 2020, your lifestyle or your livelihood. Because some people want to say amen to faith in church, but they don't want to live by faith outside of church. Worship is a lifestyle where it's Jesus-centered, it's life-giving, and it's kingdom-oriented. That's why he said it's impossible to please him unless without faith it's impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe he is and be diligent in their seeking of him. Most people aren't seeking God. We call it off the clock or out of church. They're seeking pleasure. They're seeking to be comfortable. They're seeking to be compatible. They're seeking for things to be convenient. They're seeking for things to say, stay cool and calm. They're seeking a place where there's no challenges. So they tone down their faith when they're at the house. They tune out of faith and they turn off faith when they're at home. You could imagine Abel's here worshiping God, and his brother is saying, well, I ain't take all that. Let me just bring my leftovers and give to God. And then he got mad because his offering got rejected, and then he killed his brother. The first thing we need to know, that faith is not easy. There's no such thing as easy street faith. Living by faith involves dealing with discomfort, facing difficult challenges, and fighting the good fight of faith. If it's going to be good, there has to be a fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of a fight for true faith. Hold tightly to eternal life, which God has called you, which you have declared, and so well before many witnesses. See, faith is when we trust God. Faithfulness is when God can trust you. Everybody's got mountain-moving faith in church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We get so comfortable in church, sometimes we fall asleep. But faithfulness is when God can trust you to remain loyal, dependable, trustworthy, committed, diligent, devoted, and to his plan, his purposes, and his principles. That means, like Abel taught us, to worship God means it's a lifestyle. And it takes faith to worship God. Because it's not easy to worship him at home when you got a whole bunch of bad words going false. When people are worried, and the worry is so thick in the room that it's almost intoxicating to you and choking you out. When they putting out words that are not necessarily words that are up, they're words that are down. The people are talking about people are talking about stuff, people discussing stuff. It's so much bigger today than it's ever been in history. But God didn't make you born out of time. You're born at the right place at the right time. But you got to learn that to let faith teach you how to worship God. Worship God in the spirit of holiness and worship God for who he is and what he has promised. Amen. Hallelujah. Faithfulness never quits. So we don't relax and get comfortable around kinfolk. Some of y'all do that. And we figure I can just tell it like it is at home. But that's faith, but without faithfulness. Because you want to be in faith when you're in front of the right people. But being faithful means you in front of people who even drink the devil's poison and living for the devil and living it up for the devil, right in the middle of them, you say, I'm in faith. I trust God. When they're going to mock you, when they're going to ridicule you, they're going to criticize you, you say, I trust God. Amen. I believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. Faithfulness never quits. Never quits being, behaving, and believing in faith. Faith never stops giving. Faith never stops teaching. Faith never stops growing. Faith never stops healing. Faith never stops pastoring. That one's for me. Faith never stops praying. Faith never stops reaching the lost, the lonely, and the less fortunate. Worship is synonymous or equal to service. So the heart of worship is you serving God. Remember when the devil tried to tempt Jesus and say, all these I'll give you if you just bow down and worship me. He responded. He said, you must worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Who you serve is determined by your worship, and your worship must be taught to you to do it by faith. Because you got to say, at home, I'm going to serve God. At work, I'm going to serve God. When I'm in the grocery stores, in the mall, and wherever, I'm going to serve God. When I'm stuck in traffic, my words are going to serve God. Come on now. When I'm in the morning, I'm going to serve God. When I'm doing yard work, I'm going to serve God. Faith is not easy. Because, see, some people just think faith is just things we just work out of here or out of a formula. But faith is a lifestyle of worship, of witnessing, Enoch, of working, Noah. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Number two, there will be people who look down on your faith. Why faith isn't always doesn't make sense, and many times irrational or illogical. It's irrational and illogical to our reasoning and logic because we are not moved by what we see and feel in the natural. We don't respond to problems and pressures with frustration, fear, and fury. Get mad, something go wrong. I'm mad now. Quit on God, quit on church. No. That's not faith. That's frustration. When you're frustrated, you're not in faith. So people will look down on what you believe, why you believe in the Bible, why you saying that my God is my healer. Don't you know they got the vaccine and the government's created these vaccines to help you? Yes, I do. Thank God they've created something to help the situation, perhaps. But I trust God as my healer. I receive the Lord as my healer. Amen. Whether I get the vaccine or not. Jesus is my healer. They'll look down on your faith. They say, you're crazy. I can't describe to you how many times people ask, you got the vaccine yet? Their faith is in the government. Their faith is in medical science. They don't have faith in God. Now, there's nothing wrong with the vaccine. There's flu vaccine, all other vaccines. But, you know, they're not perfect. Medical science is not perfect, but I know a God who's perfect.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus Christ who is perfect. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Faith, number three, faith will get you through tough and rough times. Now, some people mistake faith only for clothes, for cars, and for cribs. But faith is also good for crisis. Don't leave your faith at home in a crisis because faith will get you through tough and rough times. These few people we just looked at were able to withstand ridicule and torment because they knew the truth. What is the truth? Faith endures. Faith endures. Now, endurance is not just, oh, I got to work so hard. I got to do so much. And some people are so victimized that they talk victim language instead of victory language. They talk about how hard they have it, how bad it's going for me, how they've been mistreated in life. They say gloom, despair, agony on me. But that's victim language. Faith always gives a good report. Faith endures. But this word endurance means cheerful endurance. That means faith rejoices and is glad. Now, doubt complains, worries, and is sad. But faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So faith rejoices first. So that means endurance means I'm going to keep my joy level up. Because just like a fuse to dynamite or C4, you know, things that explode things like rocks and mountains they construction people use, joy is the fuse to your faith. That's why you need to rejoice. That's why the first thing to rejoice, faith action is rejoicing. When you stop rejoicing, you stop receiving. Or I should say it this way, your faith stops receiving because your faith is supposed to rejoice. Hallelujah. Faith endures, cheerful endurance. Faith to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. Faith to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. They knew that something, you got to imagine, would you preach for 120 years and not one person get saved? Because God didn't ever tell no one to stop preaching. You locked up in a boat with just your family and all those animals for 18 months. And some people can't even handle being told to shut in their house or be in the house. Oh, no, don't tell me. I'm preaching real good today. The faith to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to what? Stick it out. They knew it would be worth it all. Noah, 120 years, no convert, but obeyed God. Abraham was told to leave his family and his all his out of Ur and Chaldees, and some people can't even leave their family to obey God. If their family said, we want you here, we want you at home, we want you to do this, he needs you to do this, oh, my family's calling me. I can't do what God's calling me because my family's calling me. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. He told Abraham, ye left his whole family. And he told him to leave his father. And he couldn't hardly do it because he carried his father with him. And he only got partially obedient and only partially of the way until his father died. Then he went further and he said, you got to separate from Lot. Because he told him in the beginning, get away from your family, your kinfolks, because I'm going to teach you how to live by faith. And not live off the dictates and control of your family. That was for somebody. Well, I'll just keep it going. They knew that faith was something that would be worth it all. I don't know what your tough times entail, but I'm certain of this. Faith will get you through it. Faith is bigger than this life and is a possession no one can steal from you. Where's your faith, friends? Let me close this up with this. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Most of us search Google more than we seek God. We're always looking at some answer outside of God. We're looking for it in a devotional. We're looking for Google. We're searching on YouTube. Thank God for those platforms. But he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek who? Him. Are you diligently seeking him? That means, what does God say? Because that will give hope to my hope. That will give expectation. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. He will make it good. He will do it. You got to believe that he is. He is what? He's a faith God. And he's a faith. He's totally good. He's totally reliable. He's totally dependable. He doesn't have to call anybody to get you what you need. He doesn't have to help me for him to help you. God God is big. God is the best. But most people don't go to the source and the supply of everything they need. They quickly thumbprint their Google. They're looking at somebody else. They're thinking, maybe this answer is in this devotion. Seek him. Seek means to search out, figuratively investigate, meaning investigate, crave, demand, worship, inquire, require, seek after, carefully and diligently. And we've seen in this small sample size of Hebrews 11, we see the worship of faith in the life of Abel. We see the witness of faith in the life of Enoch. We see the work of faith in the life of Noah. We see the war, the walk, and the weight of faith in Abraham and Sarah, because the promises of God, and we said the prophecies of God, do not self-fulfill. That means the promise of God, Satan will challenge you. You can't have that. How does he challenge you? First and foremost, with condemnation. Say, you don't deserve that. He'll try to make an alarm go off in your mind saying, you don't deserve that. You've been a bad, bad girl. You've been a bad, bad boy. You ain't living holy. Look at this. This situation wouldn't be this bad if you weren't that bad. Condemnation is a disease that he tries to put to afflict your spirit. In other words, it cripples your scruple of conscience. That means your belief system gets impaired. And he tries to get you imploded so your faith can't grip or grasp the promises of God. He tries to get you into condemnation. He deceives you that says this is not for you. You found it, but yeah, it's not good. It's not for you. Healing's not for you. You're never going to get healed. You're never going to see your children say, you're not going to get it this time. You're not going to get your financial breakthrough this time. So Abraham, remember, when God was swearing oath, and he's walking in a figure eight circle between two immutable things. He had the sacrifices laid out. The blood was in there. And God was walking in blood and says, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Come on now. The God who's impossible to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. He was swearing to Abraham. He said, by an oath and by a promise, I can't swear by no greater. So he swore by himself and said, I will do this. I will do this. I will perform my word. But Abraham had to get up, and before God came down and showed up, he had to get up and fight the fowls of the air from keeping the vultures, the demons. You got to use your faith to resist the devil and the doubt that tries to come into your mind. There's a war of faith. There's a fight to faith. Faith involves and entails fighting, not quitting. That's why you need to be faithful in your faith. Y'all get something out of this today?
Yes.
And you see, they had to wait for 25 years to have that promised child. But the child came when everything seemed hopeless and impossible. Because she wasn't having any more eggs coming down. He was impotent, but they still had a baby. Somebody say, glory to God. Abraham's walk of faith to see the promises of God come to pass in their life, him and Sarah, provides us a powerful principle of the pattern of our walk of faith after them. Last point, don't give up on your faith no matter what. Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. The road of faith isn't easy. It will endure. As long as you don't abandon it. Faith may not seem like it's worth it for the moment, but it'll be worth it over time. All of these people in the Bible, those 21 references in Hebrews 11, all talk about a lifestyle and a relationship with God and his word. But it was about faith and their faithfulness in God and to God. So I close with the question for you and me, you and us to answer. Where is our faith and our faithfulness? Don't approach faith like a magic, as magic. Some people approach faith like magic. If I could just learn the magic tricks. Faith is not magic tricks. Because we are people who approach faith like this pull out of the race when life gets bad. That's why people don't come. People don't believe anymore. People abandon God. They're not faithful anymore. Because to them, they think faith is a magic wand to make all their problems go away. God forbid if we teach it that way. And then some people, you approach faith like a formula. They think, okay, the steps of faith, let me get these down, let me write these down, let me put them in my phone, let me put them in my brain, let me memorize them, let me just go through the memory. And people who have this approach of faith, they think faith is just a checklist. They got notes, they got lists, they got this, they got confessions all lined up because it's just a process. It's just a checklist. It's just a formula. At some point, it ceases to be faith and just becomes a formula. And it isn't genuine. Others approach faith, as we've seen in Hebrews 11, as a relationship. Faith is a relationship. It's a lifestyle based upon a relationship between God and his word. And God and his word are one. So if God is my healer, for example, I'm going to believe his word and his will, the Bible, which says healing belongs to me, that himself took my infirmities. See, many people take Jesus as Savior, but they don't know, they have to receive by faith the same Jesus as their healer. But they think, I got to use a formula. Or I got to get a magic wand and make it go away. And maybe the pastor will lay hands on me and it goes away. But they have no faith brought to bear. And they have received Jesus as a Savior. They know they're saved. They know they're going to heaven. They know they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. But they don't receive Jesus as their healer. Because they think, I got to get healing. I got to get healed. When he's already got it. Just like many of us in this room and many online go to a doctor and we go to a doctor report and we receive from that doctor. You got to go to Dr. Jesus and receive your healing. He said, I'll fix you up because the Lord is my physician. Somebody say, glory to God. Come on, stand up to your feet. You can see that about any other area or aspect of life. The Lord is my some of us need to see the Lord as your deliverer. Why? Because you got sins that's wrapped around you. You got lies that you believe in. You got wounds that are hurting and hindering and harbored in your heart. You got to get delivered. Amen. But he's your deliverer. You're in a fight with a legal issue or a legal battle or even a situation. The Lord is your warrior. So you trust God as your warrior. He will fight for you. He will fight for me. You know, every time I go give blood or now, the Lord has taught me this because he's the author and developer of our faith, right? And he taught me this. He said, every time you go give blood, every time you go to the doctor, you say, you receive me and my word as your healer, me as your healer, and my word as healing medicine before you go receive anything from your doctor or any medicine from your doctor.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Numbers been coming out really good.
Amen.
Because I'm learning to receive him as my healer. I'm not trying to just go in there and struggle and strain. I believe I've received my healing. No, I receive him as my healer. Hallelujah. And he's my doctor. So he's already worked on me and is working on me. Praise the Lord. And all the doctor is going to do is just call it out and pick it out. I'm not looking at that doctor to look work on me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you.